in our minds. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you so much that we have breath in our lungs. We thank you that we have a place where we can come together and freely worship you with no worry, no fear. We thank you, God, that from before the foundation of the world, you chose us to be in this generation. You told us, or you chose us to be the people in these times. We're just so grateful and we're so thankful that you would honor us with the task of knowing you and serving you, loving you. God, we humble ourselves before you this morning, and we want to spend time with you. We want to worship you. We want to praise you. We want to be in your presence. We want to go from faith to faith and glory to glory. So God, we ask that if there be any spirit that is distracting anyone in this room, Lord, if there be any spirit that is keeping us from going deeper in our relationship with you, if there's anything that's keeping us from really fixing our mind on you, Lord, we ask that you just remove it now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come. We yield to you this morning. We give ourselves over to you. Thank you so much for eternal life. Thank you so much for your spirit and your power and your glory. We love you, God, and you're so worthy to be praised. Have your way. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen.
Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.
Jesus.
Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
I pray, Father God, that over these next few weeks, these holiday weeks, that we would speak Jesus to family, to friends, to strangers. And may we be your light and love to the people around us. So many are celebrating, and they're not even sure what they're celebrating. But I ask you, Spirit of the living God, may we be living, breathing letters of yours to them. Help us to speak Jesus to them. And I would also ask you, mighty God, I'm asking you for miracles in this place in these next 30 or so days. Trusting you for healings, signs and wonders, miracles, because Christmas is a season of miracles. And we're trusting you for that. Thank you, Father. Are you with me on that, friends? You're going to be hearing more about that. Hallelujah. Anyway, God bless you guys. Go ahead and be seated. Great to have you here. I'm Pastor Brad, and we welcome you to Seaport Community Church this morning. And let me just say, first of all, thank you for all of you who sent a card or posted something on Facebook or sent a text. Thank you. I had a wonderful 67th birthday. And so, thank you for that. Hallelujah. It's amazing how fast you get here, you know. And some of you go, yeah, that's true. I think what's kind of made my birthday a little special this year is that I had special friends show up, some announced, some unannounced. And so Robert and Audrey and family, why don't you just stand? We miss you guys. And good to have you guys here. Amen. They defected to New Jersey. And job change necessitated them leaving, and we miss them dearly. And I just got home Friday night, and I hadn't even taken my coat off when someone came to the door, and it was Robert. And so that was a great birthday surprise. And also today, friends of mine, Eric and Danielle Hutchins, where are you guys? Where are you guys? Why don't you guys stand up? Why don't you just stand up, okay? You know? And I mean, you guys, North Carolina, right? Is that where you are? Okay. Down there. Here's the quick on their story. They really weren't serving the Lord. And they came one night when we used to have Full Throttle Biker Church here. Yeah, we had a biker church here for 5 years. And they came one night to one of the services, recommitted their lives to the Lord, and been serving the Lord ever since. It's been a number of years, and they're down there in ministry today, down south serving the Lord. And so every time I see them, I rejoice in God's grace and mercy. Aren't you grateful? Great stories around here. Hallelujah. Great stories. And we're excited. Next August will be the 35th homecoming. 3 days of just rejoicing. And it's going to be an amazing event. And just as we look back at 35 years. And in January, we'll show a new video every month celebrating some aspect of the 35 years here. And it's been just what a ride it has been. Hey, you guys that did the decorating around here, you did an awesome job. All of you who came by yesterday and helped with the decorating, would you just stand? I just want to say thank you. You made the place look great. Thanks so much for that. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's a lot of work. You guys banged it out, and I appreciate that. And there was a lot more than was in that picture, but it's just it's a lot of work to make this big place look good. So appreciate that so very, 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 very much. So I mean, if you are visiting today, if you're online with us, we welcome you. We'd love to connect with you. We don't want you just to kind of come through and not connect. We want to connect with you. We don't believe you're here by coincidence. Best way to connect with us is to text the word welcome to the number on the bottom of the screen right there. There's some instructions for that same thing in the seat back right in front of you. You can do it that way too. And that's just our way of connecting. But when you text the word welcome, a link will come back. Hit that link. Takes you less than a minute to fill all that out. And then we're connected. Okay? So as our way of saying welcome, we're going to give you a round of applause and just say, hey, thanks for being here today. Thanks for being online. Appreciate that. It's great to have you here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm looking forward to Chris's message here in just a few minutes. But before we get there, thank you for your generosity and your faithfulness. Many of you received an email from me yesterday, and I hope that you got that and read that, just about how I want us to finish strong so that we're ready for 2024. Amen. It's been an amazing year. It's been an amazing year. The letter will tell you about some of the things that have taken place this year at Seaport. But let's finish strong financially. Obviously, Paul encouraging the church at Corinth to give. He said, be faithful, be diligent, follow through. But remember, God loves a very depressed giver. Oh, that's not in your Bible? Oh, a stingy giver. No. A cheerful giver. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So we give. We give cheerfully because of several reasons. Number one, we get to participate in something of eternal value. And number two, we give. And we know that the Lord will honor that. And not only honor that, but bless us for it.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? It's true. It's true. It's true. And so, hallelujah. And I wasn't going to do this today, but there's ways to give up there, and you can see that. I do this as often as the Lord directs me to do it, and so I'm going to do it again today. I'm going to pray that each of you experiences financial prosperity. I'm not talking about being obscenely wealthy. I'm not talking about being greedy. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about that you would prosper financially. Prosperity. And financial prosperity means that you're able to care for your family effectively. Amen? It means you're able to give liberally to the work of God, right? You're able to meet the needs of other people around you. Amen? That's what prosperity, financial prosperity, looks like. Okay? It's not about craziness. Okay? So I'm going to pray prosperity on all of you. You know, you heard it last week. I want each of you to live a life so that $50 is not a major financial decision. And I don't want anybody here living paycheck to paycheck. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let me pray. Father, you tell me to do this, and so I do it. I do it in faith. I do it in confidence. I do it because you want me to. And I pray that every single person here at Seaport would experience prosperity. That God, that we would manage our money well, the money that we have now. God, help us to manage what we have now well, so that when you increase that, we can manage that well. And God, I just pray that you would give opportunities. Some of us need a better job. Some of us need a job. Some of us, Lord, need a place or better place to live. Some of us, Lord, need to get out of long-standing debt that is choking us. God, there's a lot that needs to happen. Some of us, oh God, have been blessed with a lot, and we need to learn how to manage that just a little bit better for your kingdom and for our families. And so whatever our need is today, I pray, God, that prosperity would just flow into every single person today. And so that when we go to the grocery store, Lord, it isn't a major freak-out moment, because we have enough. We have enough. So we commit this to you, Father. Pray blessing upon every single family that's part of Seaport for the glory of your great name. And if you agree with that prayer, say amen.
Amen.
And if you really agree with that prayer, say amen even louder.
Amen.
Okay, it's good. That's what it means, right? So, Nolani, come on up here. Nolani, I should say it the way you say it. You know, it's really exciting when a young person, you know, grows up in the church, God just calls them and they step out. And so, Nolani, you're here to tell us about where you're going. And you're going where?
Uganda, Africa.
I'm glad you said the Africa part, because some of us weren't quite sure where that is. Uganda.
Yes.
Okay. And you're going there when?
Thursday.
Like this Thursday?
Yes.
Okay, so that you're going there for vacation?
No.
What are you going to do?
So this Thursday, I'll be traveling to Uganda with myself and a group of approximately 15 other people from across the country, partnered with Hand of Hope Ministries, which is Joyce Myers, if any of you guys know. And then we are going to be partnering with Watutu Church Ministries there in Uganda as well.
Wow. And so, okay, so you're a nurse. So are you going to, what kinds of things are you guys going to be doing there? I mean,
so when we get there, we have some preparation time, and then we're going to be holding 6 full days of medical clinics. So the group that's going consists of volunteers, nurses, APRNs, doctors, dentists go, eye doctors go. So they have a very wide range that they're able to get both medical help and, like, spiritual filling.
Isn't that great? That's great. So you're going to be... So how long are you going to be gone? How long?
It's 10 days.
10 days. Okay, so that's a good long trip. So you're going... Are you going to be in one location in Uganda or moving around?
We're staying in one location.
I'm thinking one location. Yes. Okay, that's great. I mean, medical care in Africa, as you're learning about, especially through our emphasis with, you know, gospel kids there in Ghana, you know that it's a very different situation, you know, there than here. And some of these folks will never have an opportunity to get the kind of care that they're going to be able to get in these clinics. They'll never have that opportunity. So it's an amazing thing that you're doing. But so, okay, so this costs a lot of money. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so the flight to Africa is very expensive. So it costs total around $3,000 for us to go. That covers, like, our food and lodging, and then it also helps. We're bringing, like, a mini pharmacy there and different products for them.
So nobody's paying your way. Everybody has to raise their own funds, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
So many of you gave already to me. I had posted like on Facebook, just saying that I was going, and just like the blessing that so many of you have been, and like this church right. has been. I've been on previous missions, and every time Seaport, Pastor Brad, Pastor Debbie has stood beside me and encouraged me, and just, you know, how God does it. Financially, it's never been something that I've lacked in that capacity.
So how much money do you need to go?
Oh, I don't need any. It's fully covered.
I knew that. Of course, I knew the answer to that question, but here's why it's fully covered. Many of you gave to her personally, and then what she had need of, the board said, out of our missions fund, we'll make sure she has all that she needs to go. And so because of your missions giving every week, you're sending Nolani to Uganda, Africa. Isn't that great? Let's pray. You know, why don't you, you're going to be seated for a while. Why don't you stand with me one more time, and let's pray for her. She goes on Thursday. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Part of me would love to go with you, but I wouldn't be much help with the medical part of it. But anyway, let's pray together for Nolani. Father, thank you for this precious life. Lord, it's been a joy to watch her grow up in this church and step in. And God, now she's every week talking to us about missions, but she's living it too. We thank you, God, that she can go on Thursday. Lord, I just pray that you get her there safely without any kind of issues or difficulties or whatever. Get her there. God, may she unite with that team. May that team just work as one, and may they come back with incredible reports, not only of physical healing at their hands, both natural and supernatural, but God, may there be stories of those meeting you and coming to experience eternal life, which is true healing. We'll just trust you for that. God, get her there, get her home safely, and God, give her experiences that will indelibly be etched on her heart. We thank you. Thanks, Lord, for the generosity of the people of Seaport that are enabling her to go. And God, may missions continue to thrive at Seaport for your glory. Thanks. Amen.
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 Thank you.
We're proud of you. Guys can be seated. Wow. Isn't that great? It's tremendous. Look forward to the stories. Many, many years ago now in London, a group of young pastors stopped by to see the very famous preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. At that time, he preached to 5,000 to 6,000 people there in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England. He's still a very renowned preacher. They stopped and they wanted to see the huge facility, this, you know, where he preached without microphone to 5,000 people. And after he showed them the sanctuary, he said, "Would you like to go and see the boiler room?" And they said, "Yeah, that's all right. No thanks. Let me see that." He goes, No, you must. You must." And he took them downstairs and flung a door open. And on their faces were 100 people praying and seeking God. He said, "That is the reason for the power."
Amen.
And every single time someone asked, "What is the secret of your power?" he would say, "My people pray for me." Pray. Come on. Guys, if you want to eat good food, grow in some friendships, and understand what it means to live this faith, then come on Tuesday.
Yes, right.
Amen?
Yes.
Wednesday night, great growth opportunities for the entire family. Be part of that too. This Saturday, we need to make this place shine. We need backpack blowers. We need rakes. We need rakers. We need all kinds of people. And guess what? There is a clipboard that I want passed around right now. Sign up on this clipboard. Put your name down. Put down what kind of tools you can bring. You can come for an hour. You can stay for several hours. Whatever you can do, we'd love to have you come. Let's make this place shine for Jesus and for our friends. Amen. Can we do that? Just send those clipboards around. front. Ushers will pick them up when they get to the back. Okay, there's one in every one of the four sections. That'd be great if you would do that, please. Brand new ladies Bible study on Isaiah coming up. That's exciting. You know, we're doing something. We're calling our Christmas Eve service on Sunday morning, the 24th. It's going to have a blend of both Sunday morning and a Christmas Eve service. I think you'll like it a lot. And you know what? If you pre-ordered one of the brand new T-shirts, Seaport T-shirts, those are available, or you can buy one in the cafe. And then also, the devotion, the Advent devotion, okay? Pastor Debbie spent, I don't know how much time creating this. This is brand new this year. And it's filled with a little devotion, read the scripture, questions, things you can talk about with your kids. And on the back, new this year, are a whole bunch of little activities that you can do, too, that are tied in. Help. You know what? Let's build some great memories with our families. Amen? And with that, sweetheart, hold that candle up there. You can see it up there. And, you know, there's the... Pastor Debbie gets these candles from... She special orders these candles from a lady in England. What's her name, Debbie? Oh, Debbie Button is her name. So Pastor Debbie and Debbie Button, you know, put this together for you. They're very limited. So one per family. And then, of course, make sure you take pictures as you're doing these little devotionals. Amen. These are just great, great things that you can do together. Right now, I'm going to release our youth. Our middle schoolers are going to head out to the fellowship hall. That's right out this door and to the right. They're going to head out right now. And that's where they'll be for the rest of the service. We've been walking through this series called Trouble to Triumph. And Chris is going to take us into the next topic, and that is building a strong family. Chris, come on.
Thanks, Pastor Brad. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Seaport. How's everybody doing this morning?
Great.
Hopefully still feeling the warmth of Thanksgiving, being that it was just a few days ago. I invite you to reflect on a scene that I hope you will find familiar to many of us, that of a family sitting on the couch, stuffed afterwards. Well, maybe not this exact picture of Doug, Gary, and Ivan, but of a Thanksgiving table laden with an array of dishes, contributing to its unique flavor, creating this harmonious and satisfying feast, likely resulting in something like that picture above. But today, this image serves as a poignant metaphor for our families, where each member with a distinct personality and gifts comes together and under God's guidance to form a unit, this family that's rich in both love and strength and purpose. And so I want to share with you guys a journey, a generational journey, about building a strong family foundation, a journey that's very personal to me and I believe relevant to all of us. You see, a few years ago, well, I guess it was more than a few years ago now, while I was deployed to Afghanistan, everything changed for me. I experienced this profound moment of realization about what a family is, about the true strength of a family. And it wasn't just about being physically present because I wasn't there. It was about being united in purpose, about being united in love regardless of that distance. You know, during that deployment, my family had faced some very difficult challenges, which I'm not going to get into today, but being 7,000 miles away, I remember sitting in the mess hall around Thanksgiving with all my fellow service members and feeling completely isolated. Isolated because there was nothing that I could do. It was in that moment that I was taught about resilience, that I was taught about the strength of family bonds, especially when they're anchored in faith and in love. You see, unbeknownst to me at that time, back home, my father, he embodied this resilience, this love in a remarkable way. And so after only having very limited amounts of contact with my family, right, because I grew up my adult life in the military, away from home. So my parents didn't really know my wife. They didn't really know my family, except for those, you know, couple of familial interactions that we had had. But with no questions asked, he got on a plane, flew across the country to Montana, helping them get packed up, drove cross country with Nicole and my two young kids at the time, both Caden and Bella. They were really small. In fact, Bella got banned from trips after that trip across the country. But driving them back to their house to care for them while I finished my tour over there. And this selfless act and support is a living testament to the strength and unity that defines a strong family. So much so that when my wife was, you know, kind of reading over my message, it brought her to tears as she remembered that time in our lives. Because a family that surrenders itself sacrificially to serve others, this story of my father's selflessness, it seamlessly leads us into the heart of today's message, the essence of love as the foundation of a strong family. You know, we often hear Pastor Brad say about how the best thing that parents can give their children isn't stuff, it isn't money, but it's a strong marriage. And so I can say that I'm thankful today that I grew up in a family that had a strong marriage, that are still married today, that my parents showed me what a strong marriage looks like. Because, fellas, it really starts with us. It starts with you. It starts with the ability to love our wives selflessly, to love our wives sacrificially, to love as Christ loved the church. And so if you guys could pull out your preferred biblical viewing platform, whatever that is, we're going to be in a bunch of different places today, so make sure you got your highlighters ready if you want to do that. But let's delve into the scripture to understand the first pillar of a strong family, and that's that of love. In Ephesians 5:25, we're instructed, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This verse is profound, and it calls us all, not just husbands, to embody a love that's sacrificial, that's self-sacrificial, that mirrors the love that Christ has for his church. But this concept of self-sacrificial love, as we see in the New Testament, it isn't just confined to a relationship between a husband and a wife. You see, it extends to all familial bonds. And as it's vividly illustrated in the Old Testament, the story of Ruth and Naomi. I know I got you there, Adam, because you went right to Ephesians. But the story of Ruth and Naomi is a perfect example of the broader application of sacrificial love. And in this story of Ruth and Naomi, we witness this profound example of loyalty, of familial commitment that transcends the typical boundaries of immediate family. You see, Ruth, a Moabite widow, she chose to cling to Naomi, her Israelite mother-in-law, after the death of her husband. And this decision, it was significant. You see, Ruth left behind her own family, her own people, her own gods, and she went with Naomi, her mother-in-law, to serve a living God, to be part of Naomi's family, even though her husband had passed away. And in that time, that culture, it was typical that they returned to their family of origin. But here Ruth says, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Her commitment was not just to a person, but to a new family, to a new faith, to living in a new way, to worshiping a living God, and a whole new way of life. And this story, it powerfully demonstrates that sacrificial love is not limited to the marital relationship. It's a principle that applies to all family relationships. It doesn't matter if it's between parents and children, siblings, in-laws. It even extends to the family that we're surrounded with today here in the sanctuary. Amen. That we're adopted into this family circle. You see, Ruth's love for Naomi was not born of obligation or of blood relation, but a chosen one, committed love that reflects the heart of God's design for all of our family interactions. And this story, it echoes in my own life a powerful way, because my wife, faced with all these different challenges of me being so many miles away and alone, chose to go with my family when she was in a struggle. A story very familiar to many Navy families in this room. in a time of separation or difficulty, she, like Ruth, she clung to my family and to their strength and their stability. My father, akin to a role similar to Naomi's, provided this protection and support to my wife and my children. I mean, flying across the country, packing them up, driving them coast to coast during a snowstorm, having a screaming less than 2-year-old in the car. His actions are a testament to the strength and unity that defines a strong family. A family that supports, a family that sacrifices for each other in times of need. And just as Naomi provided this refuge and a new home for Ruth, my parents provided this safe haven for my wife and children. Their selfless act of love and support had mirrored this biblical narrative, showcasing a love that transcends personal comfort and convenience. It's all too often that we don't do something because we wonder how it's really going to impact us. Is it really going to inconvenience us? But this was a love that embodied this Christ-like virtue of self-sacrifice, of kindness, and enduring commitment. And so as we reflect on these stories today, both ancient and personal, let's be inspired to foster that same kind of steadfast love and loyalty in our families, whether it be our blood relation or our church relation. Let's be ones that offer strength and stability to our family members in their time of need when we step in to support them, to protect them, just as Naomi did for Ruth. And as my parents did for my wife and children. And in doing so, we build a family foundation that's strong in faith, that's rich in love, and that's enduring through all of life's trials and tribulations, because we know that they're going to happen at some point. But our understanding of family, it need not be confined to those that are just related to us by blood or by family or by marriage. You see, in Christ, we are called to extend this sacrificial love to our chosen family, to that of the church. As members of the body of Christ, we are interconnected. We each play a vital role in supporting and uplifting one another. Amen. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12:26, Paul writes, "If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member honors, all rejoice together." And this scripture, it beautifully encapsulates the essence of the church as a chosen family. I mean, think about all the times that Pastor Brad talks about, hey, when you go through something, come talk to me about it. When you celebrate something, come talk to me about it, so that we can celebrate with you in those things. In a church, we find a spiritual family, where self-sacrificial love is not just encouraged, but it's commanded. It's a place where we experience the fullness of Christ's love through our relationship with one another. And as we commit to loving and serving each other within the church, we embody this love of Christ. And we create a community that is a living testimony to His grace and His mercy. And so as you look around the sanctuary today, embrace your role in this chosen family, extending that same steadfast love and support that we cherish in our biological families to our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, in doing so, we only strengthen the bonds within our church, but we shine as a beacon of God's hope in a world that desperately needs it. You know, this love and this unity that we cultivate within our church family, it serves as a reflection and an extension of our faith. And it becomes the cornerstone of not just our spiritual lives, but of our family lives. You know, faith, much like love, is a binding force that holds us together through life's challenges and through life's triumphs. It's the faith that we now turn our attention to when we recognize that vital role in strength and resiliency in our families. You know, if you're in Ruth right now and you flip back to Joshua, in Joshua 24:15, he declares, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And this is a powerful testimony, a powerful statement from Joshua, not just a personal declaration, but a commitment. A commitment for his entire household to live in service and obedience to God. It places a marker. It places this cornerstone. It places us at a moment where faith is the importance, where faith becomes the backbone of a family's spiritual life, a theme that resonates deeply within our own experiences. And to bring this to life, let's consider a modern testimony, right? Many of us have gone through extreme trials. We know what it's like to struggle. So picture a family that's facing a trial that seems insurmountable, one that's severe, an illness perhaps, or some kind of financial hardship or relationship strife. It's in these darkest hours, instead of succumbing to this despair, what a powerful testimony it is to everyone around them when they see a family stand in faith, when they see a family that is binded and bonded and joined together in faith, that through prayer, through reading Scripture together and trusting in God's promises, that they find the strength to endure no matter what. They find the strength to endure no matter what, and they get this renewed and deepened sense of unity, this deepened sense of purpose. Their faith becomes this beacon of hope, guiding them through the storms and emerging them stronger on the other side. You know, it's through those binding moments together as a family, when you go through those trials and tribulations together, that just sticks you together like glue. And this should encourage all of us, if you haven't gone through one of those struggles, it should encourage you to say, if I make it, when I make it through this struggle, it will be a beacon of hope to others. And you can join in faith together simply by praying together at meals, at bedtime, studying the Bible as a family, or serving in ministry together. And these practices, they not only reinforce your individual faith, but they also fortify your faith as a family unit, creating this shared spiritual language and experience in times of challenge, in times of struggle. It's this shared faith that can offer guidance. It offers a different perspective. It reminds us that we're not alone in our struggles and that we have God with us. We have this constant source of strength and wisdom right there. All we have to do is not get brought to the left or to the right, but stay focused right on God. And as families, whether biological or not, when we commit, when we really commit to nurturing our faith, to making our homes a place where, like Joshua, we can boldly declare that, as for my house, we will serve the Lord. Here, Joshua isn't just saying, my faith is important. He's declaring, my family is united in one purpose, to serve a living God. This commitment, it lays a strong foundation upon which every other aspect of family life can be built. It ensures that our families are not only strong in the face of trials, but also deeply rooted in the love and the knowledge of God. And that is an amazing and an awesome thing. But fellas, it doesn't just stop there. You see, a strong foundation on faith alone is not the only ingredient necessary for a healthy family. You see, it's on us. We have to continue to foster our relationships, as it tells us in Ephesians 4:32. It instructs us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you. You see, this verse, it not only calls for kindness and compassion, but it also to a life of forgiveness, a life of forgiveness that mirrors the life of Christ. You know, I mean, if you look around during all of these trials and troubles that we have, how many times do you see people that succumb to pride because they don't want to be, I don't know, wrong? They don't want to look wrong to their families. They don't want to admit that they messed up. They don't want to admit that they made a mistake, even to the ones that are the most closest to them. Why do we do that? I mean, imagine for a moment a family where a misunderstanding or that unspoken grievance caused all these walls to be built up, where a trivial argument had escalated, leading to harsh words and hurt feelings. I mean, heck, it was just Thanksgiving weekend. I know that in every family across every country, everything went smooth this weekend, right? I mean, my dad forgot to turn on the oven on Thanksgiving morning, I heard, and I'm sure that went really well for him. But instead of allowing these wounds to fester, what if one courageous family member, what if any of us, took the step of initiating that conversation, of openly expressing their feelings and seeking understanding instead of bottling it up? Because it isn't where that bottling up happens that we then start to segregate ourselves off. So we start to build up those walls around ourselves. I mean, I know in my life, any time that I've dug in about something, it never goes well. Never goes well. However, I have seen the tremendous power of what forgiveness has. I've seen how when we're vulnerable with each other, it paves the way for others to open up. It leads to heartfelt exchanges and apologies and forgiveness and the building up of each other. So it's weird that if we're vulnerable with each other, we're able to build each other up. And through these experiences, we continually learn this value of open communication, of letting our guard down and the healing power of forgiveness. It emerges not only as reconciliation, but with this deeper understanding and respect for one another. It builds and strengthens these bonds between us. And the impact within our families is profound when we consider this full spectrum of communication. I mean, it's a well-established fact that a significant portion of our communication is nonverbal. I know, guys, this is tough for us because we go with what we say. In fact, studies say that 93% of our communication is nonverbal. 93%, that's a lot, especially for people that don't say a lot. So encompassing this body language, this tone of voice, these facial expressions, even apparently I have a telltale sign of I flare my nostrils and my kid picks it out every single time. I don't know how. I don't even know that I'm doing it. You know, it was for years and years and years that I would always get the, it's not what you said, it's the tone of voice that I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Right? And this highlights the importance of being in tune to not just what you say, but how you say it and the unspoken messages, fellas, that we convey. You know, in a family, understanding and respecting these diverse forms of communication is crucial for maintaining a healthy and loving environment. Come on, everybody in here who's married knows that you can have an argument without saying anything. Just the look that you give at each other, you're like, oh, she's mad at me. And so, men, this next part is particularly relevant to you guys because I recall an experience in one of my classes that I just had when we were discussing the common scenario of how men can verbatim give you back a conversation without even paying attention. We are paying attention, women. We are paying attention. But one of my female classmates offered this, so I will offer it to you. Instead of remaining silent because we just really don't have anything to say, or perhaps we had a lot going on and we're just trying to process it and we're a little bit slower at processing it, if we just say something like, hey, I don't have the capacity to have the conversation right now, and express that to our spouses or to our children instead of not saying anything, that this will go a lot way. It will go a lot better. You guys hearing what I'm saying? But I also got told that don't use that all the time. So I understand that this is important, but there are some qualifiers, so don't use it all the time. But just having that conversation with them, just being present in that moment, just putting your phone down and saying, hey, I don't have the capacity to talk about this right now. Can we talk about it later at the right time? Because 93% of our communication with our spouses or with our families is nonverbal. So stop scrolling on your reels, fellas. And this approach to communication where we all acknowledge the importance of the conversation, the importance of that relationship with our family members, the feelings that go with it, it also respects their want to communicate with us. It respects their emotional state. It respects our emotional space. And it's foundational to us having a relationship and a family environment. It shows the other person, I care about you. I want to have a relationship with you. And so by setting aside these regular times to have family discussions, these regular times where you're actively listening without judgment, without just getting ready to respond to them by actually listening and expressing the thoughts and the feelings that you have respectfully, it'll establish this culture of honest and open communication that builds families. You see, the culture of a family acknowledges the words and the nonverbal cues. And it also fosters this deeper level, this deeper understanding of a connection. And it's in these moments where you connect with people, where you have these shared understandings and this mutual respect that truly builds a family, that truly builds the bonds, that truly strengthens and paves the way for a nurturing and supportive home life. I mean, think about the friendships that you have. That's why most people go to their friends, because they start to talk to them about things and their friends listen to them. So listen. And then forgiveness, in contrast, it brings about healing and restoration. So in order to have forgiveness, you have to listen to what the other person is saying. Because oftentimes they're telling you what they're upset about, but you have to listen. And it's challenging, yet a powerful act of love that mirrors forgiveness. It mirrors this forgiveness that we've received in Christ. Especially when we encourage one another to embrace this forgiveness. It's crucial, and it reminds us that forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice that we have to listen to one another, to be present with one another. And we can give others this freedom and this peace. And so as we strive to communicate with love, to listen with empathy, and to forgive with grace, we lay these building blocks, strengthening the bonds of our family, strengthening our love and our trust within our families. But of course, these practices, they're not just made to merely resolve conflicts, right? They're essential to foster an environment where everybody feels valued, understood, and lived. And so when we do that, when we reflect the heart of God in our homes, we create this sanctuary of peace and unity, this sanctuary that becomes a place where the spirit of service can flourish and it can nourish, and we can be a family that's closer and united, and we can enrich in serving together. Because we don't just talk about it, we actually have to live it out. We actually have to be about it, right? In Galatians 5:13, we're reminded, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." You see, this powerful verse, it calls us to recognize that our freedom in Christ is not just meant for self-indulgence, but rather as a means to serve one another in love. And so as I was preparing this message about being a strong family, I was able to reflect about these enriching experiences that I've had with my own family serving together as a family. You know, I was reminded of all these moments that we shared in service together, from preparing and serving food at the local homeless shelter to having a Thanksgiving dinner and serving people at the Salvation Army. All these acts of service are a thread in the tapestry of our family's journey, of things that we did together. There's a theme there, right? We were serving together. And I recall these times that we stood out in the cold, ringing the Salvation Army bell in the freezing cold outside the mall, but singing Christmas songs during the holiday season, and our hearts just filled with joy in this spirit of giving to others, unified together as a family. And there's been many years that we served here on the cleaning team and in other ministries where we were just working together for all of us, for all of you. And how much that was awesome to serve as a family. But these experiences, they're not just acts of service themselves. They're about this shared journey. It's about being together in the present. It's about spending quality time together through these collective expressions of faith that show our love in our actions. And each moment is spent together, it brought us closer together. You know, I love it when I see the pictures of the feasters every year getting together and doing their gingerbread houses. It's such an awesome shared family experience. Each moment spent, I'm sure, bringing them closer as they have a little competition. You know, we've watched as our children not only learn these invaluable lessons about compassion and about teamwork and about the joy of selfless giving, and we've watched as it's blessed others, and how this blessing has just deepened our own familial bond, and it's strengthened our family bond by doing these things together. And so when building strong families, this service becomes more than a sense of duty. It transforms into a shared journey, a collective expression of our faith. It's love in action. It's love outside the walls of these churches. It's love to our neighbors. It's spreading the gospel to our friends and our family and to our neighbors. It's saying that we serve a living God. And our serving together is a powerful way to strengthen our family. It shifts the focus from inward to outward. It shifts it from our needs and our wants to those of others. That fosters a spirit of compassion, and it fosters a spirit of empathy. So as we enter this season of giving, as we enter this season of miracles, you need to find ways to be together, whether it's in the church or in your wider community. This is could be as simple as volunteering at a local shelter together, working together as a family to make a bunch of cookies and bring them to someone who just needs to spend time with somebody, right? Or it could be as simple as if you have an older family, like those 12 and up, coming on Saturday to be part of the workday. If we want to build strong families, we got to embrace being together. We have to embrace growing together. We have to take the opportunity to serve together, always remembering that we are actually reflecting the love of Christ's family to the world around us as they see us serving together, as they see us interacting together. And in doing so, we not only strengthen our own family, but we become this beacon of hope, reflecting the light and the love of Christ to those around us. So if you guys could stand with me as I get ready to close. You know, as we stand here today ready to step out into the world, let's carry these powerful messages with us. You know, the story of my father's selfless love where he went out, it's a vivid illustration of strength and unity that we can aspire to, something that I aspire to be like. As we let this story inspire us and build our families on a foundation that's sacrificial, it creates this legacy of faith and of unity that endures throughout generations. You know, we talked about how love and faith and forgiveness and service is strengthening to our family bonds. These aren't just abstract concepts, they're practical everyday actions that can shape our lives. Love, as exemplified by Christ, is sacrificial to the church. It's the cornerstone of a family life. Faith, it's the anchor that holds us steady in life's storms. Forgiveness is the balm that heals the wounds and restores our relationships. And service is the expression of our love. It's our faith in action. It's our showing Christ to the world. So this week, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to show that strength of your family through the service to each other. Find one way. Find just one way to be together. It could be as simple as working together to help a neighbor, visiting a family member, bringing a meal to someone in need. But the essence of a family starts with being present together, about loving one another, this perfect opportunity that gets into practice. I mean, Pastor Debbie made this awesome Advent reading guide. So make sure you get one of those and start spending time with your family this week. Make a commitment to do it because it will not only strengthen your family bond, but it will be a beacon of God's love and hope because others will see that action. They will see as you demonstrate what a family looks like. And this demonstrative power is transformative power of Christ's love. And it shows the world what it really means to be a family that's united in Christ. So bow your heads with me. Lord, as we've gathered in your presence today, may our hearts be filled with gratitude. Gratitude for the blessings of family and your unwavering love. We thank you for the unity and diversity within our families, not just within our blood families, but within our church family, Lord. Thank you for making us so different that we can come together for you, Lord, that each member contributes to your family with unique gifts by your guidance, Lord. Lord, we know that strong families thrive in love, faith, and forgiveness. And when they do it in service to you, may it be sacrificial so that others can see and know and feel your presence. That when you have a true encounter with you, the living God, Lord, anything is possible. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's worship. to call the ministry team up forward here. You know, maybe you didn't grow up in a family of origin like I did. Maybe your past has just gone a different way. Well, look around you today, because He's divinely placed you here with a family. People that will care for you, that will love you. Because we put our firm foundation in Christ. Because we make Jesus our firm foundation. That Jesus is the supreme example. That everything we do goes towards Him. That everything we do reflects His light and His love onto others. So maybe you're standing there and you're like, I didn't grow up with a family like that. It's okay. Because you can look towards Christ. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord. It's our sin that separates us from Him. We separate ourselves from Him by turning our backs towards Him. All you have to do is turn towards Him. He wants to know you. He wants to love you. All you have to do is walk towards Him. So if you want to take that step, if you've never taken that step before, if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, come up and have one of these guys pray with you. They're trained to pray with you. They want to know you. They want to help you. They want to be there with you. They want you to stand firm in Christ, and they will stand firm in Christ with you. So what are you waiting for? Make that choice today. And as we go about our week this week, let's continue to reflect God's light and His love as the family that we're grafting into, as arm in arm, linked together, as we stave off the attacks from the enemy, that we are standing firm, because we are firm in our faith. We are firm in our love. We are firm in our connection to Christ. So stand in that faith. Stand in that love. Forgive as He has forgiven us. And reflect His light and His love onto everyone that's around you, so that they can have a true encounter with the living God. So be strong with your families this week, and reflect that light and the love to everyone that's around you. Grab one of those Advent candles and be strong as a family together, so that others can be blessed by it. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I dismiss us in our great grace. If you need prayer for anything, come up. This ministry team will pray with you. If you want to meet with Pastor Brad, he'll be out in the narthex afterwards. Have a great week, and we can't wait to see you on Wednesday. Amen. Amen.